Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 43. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 43. If you have a Scofield Bible above this, it says, "The Worthlessness of Self-Reformation." And verse number 43 of Matthew chapter 12. "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. And goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Now, if you will, kind of mark that somehow, but let's also go over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And verse number 17. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 17. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And I want you to especially remember verse 21. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight, Lord. And we're going to touch upon something that's important. And Lord, it's not the first time it's been preached from this pulpit. It certainly shouldn't, I don't think, be the last time it's preached. But something, Lord, that I think we ought to be reminded of often. Lord, as we look at a very basic, practical doctrine that helps us, Lord, to live out the Christian life once we're saved. And Lord, I pray especially, we do have several folks that are, Lord, you've brought into the church just of late. And Lord, they're new converts, or at least new to Blessed Hope. And I pray, Lord, it's exciting, by the way, to see their desire to grow and to do well and to want to be all that they can be. And I pray that this would be, for some of them, probably new and a help. And then also, Lord, for us that have heard these things before, Lord, may we be directed by the Holy Spirit of God to apply them, this truth, in an area of our life in which maybe we still have not yet seen victory, and we would, Lord, be able to be more like Jesus because of being here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. So keep your place marked in both these places, but for now, if you'll go back to Matthew chapter number 12, I'm going to preach on this message, how to overcome evil, or I've called this before when I've preached it, the doctrine of replacement, the doctrine of replacement. Notice here what happened in Matthew chapter number 12. The Bible says that an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Now stop a minute and think about this. If it went out of that man, that means at one time it was in that man. So here's a man that had an unclean spirit. And he was vexed of the devil, and because of that, he was living a defeated life. There were areas of his life that were demonically oppressed. But for whatever reason, maybe Jesus came by and told the devil to leave. Or maybe he just got bored and decided to take a vacation. I have no idea. But we find that the unclean spirit is gone out of this man. And the Bible says that that unclean spirit's not happy. You know, demonic spirits aren't happy unless they're trying to mess somebody's life up. Demonic spirits may for a while leave somebody that's unsaved, but you know what? Pretty soon they'll come back to try to oppress that person again and again. And we see that this unclean spirit, when he walks through dry places, he seeks rest and find none. You know, that's a terrible thing. You think about this, that unclean spirit at one time was an angel that stood before God and praised and worshiped him. And here is he was tricked by the devil. A third of the angels of heaven were deceived by Satan and listened to his lies and followed him. And as a result, here is what they have been reduced to. At one time, they were created beings that were the servants of God and messengers of God and praisers of God. And now they walk through dry desert places. And you know what? They find no rest. They seek rest, but find no rest. They aren't happy unless they are causing havoc in somebody's life. And so remember that. You know what? Demons are real. I mean, they really are. They're fallen angels, and they work very hard at trying to affect people and oppress people. And if they're if you're unsaved, even possess people. And verse number 44, then he saith, that's the demon, I will, or the unclean spirit, I will return into my house from whence I came. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now this is when the reason I pointed this out at the beginning, that Scofield has inserted this title, The Worthlessness of Self-Reformation. Because this is the picture of a man that's going to, quote unquote, turn over a new leaf. He's going to start again. Maybe he's developed some bad habits. Maybe it's because of demonic oppression, but he resists them, and he gets rid of that demon, or he's for some reason delivered from that demon. And he even sweeps and cleans up and turns over a new leaf, and boy, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be better, and all of this. But the problem is, it's swept. Notice this. It's swept, and it's garnished, but it also is empty. Boy, that's very important. It's empty. And he got rid of an unclean spirit, but he left it vacant. He left it empty. He left his heart and life empty. And then the unclean spirit, when he finds it in this condition, verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be until this wicked generation. So here's a man that turned over a new leaf. He had decided he would get bad out of his life. He was going to get evil out of his life. So he did that somehow. But you know what? He just left it vacant. There was still a vacancy sign over the door. It was still vacant. And he swept it up a little bit and cleaned it up a little bit. But you know what? The problem was he left it empty. And soon that unclean spirit that had been expelled sees the situation, goes and gets seven spirits stronger than him, and they go back and retake that man. And in the latter part of his life, he's worse than he was at the beginning. By the way, when I'm telling this story, I'm thinking of certain individuals, and maybe you know people exactly that this is their testimony. Perhaps at one time they had a lot of problems, a lot of demonic oppression in their life, and they decide that they're going to reform themselves. Maybe they go to an AA meeting, or they go to some other worldly counseling service, and they get some temporary help. And you know what? For a while, it looks like they've turned things around, and they get rid of, now watch this, they get rid of this bad habit, get rid of this bad habit, get rid of this bad habit, get rid of this thing out of their life. But the problem is that they don't replace that with anything good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Empty does not overcome evil. Empty leaves a vacuum for evil to return in more powerful than it was before it came. And so it's very important for us. Hey, Brother Jerry, I've heard this. I know this. Yeah, and we need to hear it again. This is very, very important. This isn't just for new Christians, by the way. This is for us old veterans. I guarantee you, whatever area of your life that you're trying to clean up, you're never going to exceed just by expelling the negative. You must replace it with the positive. There's always some good that can replace a corresponding evil, and until you do that, you're not going to give victory. Let me just give you an introduction, five quick statements. Number one, we can be overcome of evil. We can be overcome. By the way, that's any of us. Any of us can be overcome of evil. Moses, Samson, Noah, David, Peter, Thomas, John, Mark. I can go to all their lives and show you times when they were overcome of evil. Wherefore, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We, any of us here, could be overcome of evil. Now listen, Jude 9, I won't go there, but Jude 9, evil is stronger than you and I. Evil, number two, evil is stronger than you and I. Now don't think for 1 minute that you're more powerful than the devil. Don't think for 1 minute in the power of the flesh you can stand up against those principalities and powers. That's why God says take on the armor of God. Because in our own strength we cannot handle the devil. You are not stronger. I am not stronger than evil. I am not stronger than evil. Now we may overcome evil for short periods of time, but it will return stronger if we leave our heart and life vacant. Number four, our only insurance against evil returning is to replace it with something stronger. I used to illustrate this. I won't do it tonight, but you know, it's interesting. If we had a chair up here, and I took one of these littler guys around here, and I put him in that chair, and I said, now, I'm going to expel you out of that chair, and I pushed him out of there, and I say, now, you want to get back in there, but I want you out of there, but the first chance you get back in there. And you know what? I get busy and get to preaching, and next thing you know, not pay attention. I look back, and he'll be sitting right back in that chair where he was. But I guarantee you, if I take that little guy and push him out of the chair and bring somebody up here like Brother Tom Daffron and set him in that chair and say, you know what, you go ahead anytime you want to and try to get back in that chair. You know what, that little boy can try all he wants, but he's not going to get that big man out of that chair. He's not going to do it. And so Brother Tom just take one of his big arms, get that boy down, put him on the ground, put his foot on top of him. He'll be just fine, you know, and use him for a footstool there. Now, that's what happens. What's wrong, Brother Jerry, with these worldly programs? What's wrong with going to this social, this psychiatrist, this worldly thing? I mean, that's helped a lot of people. And I think short term and a lot of times it does help people. But the problem is they teach you how to expel the evil, but they don't give you anything that's more powerful than the evil to put in its place. Because you have to have something that's more powerful than the evil if you're going to keep control of the seat. And that's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. One of the great things about being a born-again Christian is when you, listen, before you were saved, you try to get rid of this evil. And you know what? You make such an effort to clean your life up and start over. But listen, you never accepted Jesus. You never got God in your life. You never got Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you tried to reform yourself. And I'm going to get rid of the negative. But you didn't have anything in its place that was more powerful than the evil. But when you got Christ in your life, all of a sudden you do now have something inside of you that's more powerful than the evil. And when it tries to come back, guess what? It's not just swept and garnished, but there's a no vacancy sign above the door. And when the demon opens the door crack, the Shekinah glory of Jesus Christ pours out and he doesn't have a chance. He better go look for somewhere else to dwell. And so that's the principle there that happens at salvation as far as a demon no longer possessing us. But you know what? Demons still will try to oppress us and torment us in areas of our life and try to hinder us from growing strong. Now, let me have you go over to Colossians chapter 3 and I'll show you that this is the same concept as found in other parts of the Bible. And we'll just teach on this and hopefully give you some very practical things. I want to help those of you that are newly saved and you say, Brother Jerry, I'm trying to overcome some evil strongholds in my life. Well, I'm going to give you something that I hope will be a blessing to you. I'm going to explain to you a little bit about the doctrine of replacement. Now, that sounds like a big fancy title, but let me tell you what it boils down to. The doctrine of replacement really means this. It's not enough to put off something bad. You have to immediately put on something good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There's got to be a corresponding positive force that prevents that evil from coming back into your life. The worst thing you can do is expel evil or expel a bad habit and leave a vacuum. If you leave a vacuum, it will be filled up again, and it will be harder the next time to expel it. Have you seen people try this? They get rid of something, then they fall back. They get rid of something, and it's harder the next time. They get rid of something, and most of the time, by the third time, they throw their hands up and say, you know what, I just can't do it. Well, it's good that you realize that. No, you cannot. Neither can I. But with Christ's help, we can. And so Colossians chapter 3, let me just read this. I love verses 1 through 4, so I'm going to read them. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Say, Brother Jerry, are you waiting for Jesus Christ? Yes, and I'm always also waiting for my life. My life is hid in Christ. And boy, it's going to be great when he comes back one of these days. Now, I'm going to have you underline some things if you haven't already done this. Chapter number 3 and verse 5. Look at that, will you? Are you looking at your Bible? Chapter number 3, verse 5. The very first word is the word mortify. Mortify. I'd underline that if I was you, okay? So I'm just going to have you underline a few things and then we'll teach this. Now, look down at verse number 8. You'll find in verse number 8 the two words put off. Put off. I'd underline that. Mortify, verse 5, verse 8, put off. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9, find those same words. Put off. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off. Underline that, put off. Now, verse 10, I'd underline the third word and the fourth word, put on. Verse 10, put on. Put on. Look at verse number 12, if you will. And again, I'd underline put on. And verse number 14, there it is again. And above all these things, put on. I'd underline that. So we have mortify. Then we have some things that we have to put off. And then we have some things we ought to put on, verse number 10, put on, verse number 12, put on, verse number 14. Now, without me going through and teaching all this, although I'm going to hit it real quick, can I just share with you that I've given you a great formula for Christian growth just by underlining those words? If I was you and I was a new Christian, or if I was had even been saved for a while, I'd go through this and I'd make sure, first of all, that I have mortified the things that God said to mortify. Now, there are some things that when you get saved, that word mortify means to kill, to annihilate, to cause to cease to exist. You know, there's some things that you grow out of, but there's some things that you God doesn't want you to grow out of them or put them off. He wants you to kill them out of your life. And verse number 5 says this, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. And let me just say this, and I want to be careful here. We've got some of the smaller children, but most of them are. But all of these sins have to do with sins of the flesh, especially sins connected with sexual deviant conduct. Can I say this? You don't grow out of that as a new Christian. Well, you know, before I was saved, I was a pedophile, and you know, I'm slowly growing out of that. I'm working my way. You don't work your way out of that. When you get saved, you mortify that. Before I was saved, I was involved in some adulterous. Well, guess what? You don't grow out of that. You mortify that. You know, while I was involved in some pornography, well, you know what? You don't grow out of that. You mortify that. Mm-hmm. Folks, listen to me. The one area God's telling us here that we can't afford to coddle or play around with, that we need to get completely 100% out of our lives and out of the lives of our family, is this matter of sexual deviant behavior. You know what? We just need to get back to being Christians. And there's just some things that you don't do. Christian young people, listen to me. I'm pleading with you to listen to my heart. There's just some conduct that a Christian does not involve themselves in. We preach a lot about this, and we're going to keep preaching a lot about this around here. The goal of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is for every single young person in this church to grow up and to be pure and chaste and virgin and walk down that aisle in a white dress and offer a pure arm to a pure young man. And that is what God wants for you. That's what God, the goal God has set for you. And you should be satisfied with nothing less than that. Nothing less than that. You shouldn't be satisfied with it. And young ladies, listen to me. If you start getting around a young boy, and you know what? He can't keep his hands to himself, and he makes fun of this type of preaching, and he's always saying suggestive things, you need to get away from him as fast as you can get away from him. And I hate to say this, but young men, you're going to have to watch. Proverbs teaches us there's strange women out there. There's strange young ladies out there. There's young ladies wanting to do nothing more than go out and ruin and steal the purity of decent young men. And I guarantee you the devil sends you some counterfeits before God sends you the real thing. And you got to have some wisdom in this area. There's some things you mortify. You don't play with. You don't tamper with. Listen, keep some lines in your life. Keep some standards in your life. Don't lower any of your standards in order to so I can have a boyfriend or have a girlfriend. They're not worth it. And you wait for that godly person that God's brought into your life that'll treat you right and court you right and do the right things and go through your mama and daddy and not around your mama and daddy. And that'll back the preacher and back the kind of preaching I'm talking about. Now you can look at me like a calf looking at a new gate and you can go ahead and do what you're going to do. I mean, many young people have before. But what you'll find out one of these days, your life's wrecked and ruined. And you know what? You'll be picking up the pieces trying to figure out how to put everything back together. Now listen to me, please. It's very important that this pulpit stays firm on that. We're to mortify certain things. Certain behaviors are not acceptable for a Christian, and you keep the standard high in your life. You got that? All right, then it says this, though, in verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these things. Now, folks, listen to me. There are some things we've got to grow out of. And we don't just put them off one time. We put these things off. Sometimes we expel them out the door. But I want to give you a great secret on helping you to not have to keep shoving them out the door and shoving them out the door and shoving them out the door. You see, it says here, now put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lying, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man and his deeds. It's basically the old man and his deeds. It's how the unsaved person acts, talks, behaves, feels, views life. All of those things need to be expelled. Now here's where the doctrine of replacement becomes very important. Brother Jerry, listen, I've got problems with some of these things. Filthy communication out of my mouth. You know, sometimes I say the wrong thing. I'm in the habit of saying the wrong kind of words. Let me tell you something. You can say, well, I'm going to put that out. And by the way, that's legitimate. If you listen, folks, we might as well be realistic here. You know, if you grew up swearing and spent most of your adult life swearing, then got saved, you're going to find out that you're going to have to fight a little bit of battle to keep from swearing. You know, you may say, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put that off. And then you're out there hammering a nail and you hit your finger. And next thing you know, some things are coming out of your mouth that you thought you put off. Guess what? The devil just put them back on. And you know what? Some things you have to work at. But when that happens, listen, hey, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Man, get on your, Lord, I'm sorry, I apologize. But here's the thing. How do I get rid of evil communication? How do I, listen, it's not enough to say, here's the thought. Are you listening to me? It's not enough to say, I'm not going to say the wrong thing. I'm not going to say the wrong thing. I'm not going to say the wrong thing today. I'm not going to say the wrong thing. I'm not going to say the wrong thing. Folks, that's only half the battle. You see, every negative needs to be replaced with a positive. The best way to overcome and to keep from saying the wrong thing is instead of sitting there saying, I'm not going to say the wrong thing, I'm not going to say the wrong, is to say, I'm going to say the right thing, I'm going to say the right thing, I'm going to say the right thing, I'm going to say the right thing. You see, we literally need to retrain our mouth. You know, if you're used to blaspheming God, what's the opposite of blaspheming God? Praising God. So I think if I was in the habit and had been in the habit of using God's name in vain and being blasphemous towards God, I wouldn't just say, I'm going to stop that. I would replace that and immediately begin to in a proactive way, praise God at every opportunity. You get in the habit of praising the Lord, and you know what? That is good, and good is stronger than evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. But if you just say, I'm going to work hard all day long not to say the wrong thing, and what you've done is pushed it out, but you've created a vacuum, and pretty soon it'll come back in. And so look at all of these things. You know, we talk about, and I'm going to talk about some very practical new Christian things, but this is for veteran Christians. I think, you know, I talked about covetousness the other night versus contentment. Brother Jerry, how do I overcome covetousness? I'll tell you how you do it. This isn't really how to do it, but I'll tell you how to do it. Just wake up every morning and say, I'm not going to covet, not going to do it. Nope, 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 not going to covet. No covet, no covet, no covet, no covet, no covet, no covet. And you know what? You'll drive by a nice car, and next thing you know, you'll be coveting. You'll drive by. I'm just telling you, you can't shove out the evil and leave a vacuum. You have to learn contentment. You have to put on the quality of contentment, because when contentment is sitting in the seat, it's stronger than covetousness. And so you've got to develop the positive attributes and not just get rid of the negative things that you're trying to overcome on your life. That's why God says, after he commands us to put off, in verse 10, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Hey, you know how you overcome pride? You expel it and you replace it with humility. If you just expel it, it's going to be back more powerful than ever. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. You know how to overcome bitterness? You know how to overcome carrying a grudge? You can't just push the grudge out the door. It's just going to come back. What you've got to do is replace it with forbearing and forgiveness. If you have a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know how to overcome hatred in your life? Push hatred out the door, but put love in its place. Now, let me talk to you very practically some new Christian type things for a few minutes. Some of you have gotten saved, or maybe you've been saved for a while and you're still battling some things. Let me just give you some, for instances, on the doctrine of replacement. You know, a lot of people that get saved have a strong influence of their life of listening to the wrong kind of music. And you know what? That is something that's going to really hinder you in your Christian life. It really will. I think one of the hardest things for some people to overcome after they get saved is just getting rid of the wrong kind of music. Now, folks, listen to me and be patient with me. You know, it's amazing. I laugh about this, but, you know, I can't remember things that happened when I was a kid, but I can remember in fifth grade and going to music class in a public school, and I can almost tell you word for word every song we learned in music class when I was a fifth grader. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day, Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. Hello. Is it true? Yes, that's so. Everything is something, something. I forgot the rest of it. But what is it? Satisfaction. Zippity-doo-da. Now, isn't that insane? Why do I remember that stupidity of words? Doesn't even make sense. I'll tell you why I remember it. I'll tell you why I remember it. Because it's set to music. Because it's set to music. Now, if I'm the devil, and I want to put a bunch of wrong thoughts and wrong philosophies in your life, and I want you to remember them forever and ever, I'm just going to put it to a peppy beat. And I'm going to put a bunch of worldly philosophies that are fun to listen to. And you know what? You'll remember them. And I will systematically brainwash you by getting you to listen to the wrong kind of music that has the wrong kind of message. And next thing you know, you're going to be brainwashed because you're listening. Now, the honest truth is, you can't help it. If you got saved out of that, you've got all this stuff. I mean, some of you saved out of that stuff, you know, and you haven't listened to it for years. But you can walk into Walmart, and they won't even have the words. They'll just have the melody. And you know what? You'll be sitting there. Next thing you know every word. You know everything that it said. I mean, and you said, I thought I got rid of that. And what happened? Well, I'll tell you, because it was set to music. It's a battle, isn't it? That's honest truth. You might just look at it and say, yes, it is. It's a battle. If you've had that exposure, then you're carrying all of that. So what do? Well, I'm just going to push it out and push it out and push it out. Not listen. Now listen, that's great. I'm glad you're deciding to do that. And you ought to do that. You ought to get rid of that stuff. You ought to, if you've got it laying around your house, you ought to pack it up and burn it. And folks, why? Listen. I think any kind of music that's anti-God and anti-Christian and teaches wrong philosophies, you don't just package up and get rid of it. You know, we hit a lot on rock music. And I know in this area, man, the sacred cow of this area is this country western music, you know. I mean, folks, listen, aren't you depressed enough? I mean, aren't you depressed enough? I mean, would you listen to that stuff, you know? I mean, I could be feeling pretty good and turn on a country western station, listen to three songs, and next thing you know, I hate everybody, you know, and your dog died and your wife left you, and you're down at the tavern listening to the jukebox and drinking yourself to oblivion, and that, boy, that helps, you know. That's, man alive, that gives you the victory. And I'm just saying, you've got to identify things and say, you know what, these things do not help me have the right frame of mind. They don't encourage me in the Lord. They don't help me to have a biblical outlook. They glorify immorality. They glorify adultery. They glorify the nightclub mentality and the nightclub lifestyle. And our young people start listening to that. And what it does, folks, is it packages sin in a way where sin looks good when it's not. You see, it's a lie of the devil. So they start listening to stuff, get brainwashed by it, think, man, I'm missing out. Listen to all this song. All these people can't be wrong. And next thing you know, if I want to be happy, I got to go find out what they're talking about. And then you find out, you know what? Life's not a country western song. Life's just real. And you know what? All of the devil's apples have razors in them. Yes, that's the truth. Yeah, you drink the devil's water, and I guarantee you, I don't care how pure it looks, it's got poison in it. And the devil offer you one thing, and then he'll lie to you. And when you actually reach out, you'll find out you got something that you didn't want. Are you listening to me? So what you need to do is get rid of that music, but you need to replace it. You see, if you just push all the dirty music out of your life and leave an empty chair, I promise you within a few weeks you'll be listening back to that music. You'll be listening to it more than you did before you got rid of it. What you've got to do is get rid of that music, but also replace it with good, wholesome Christian music. And I think it's very, very important. Let me tell you something. If you don't have access to this, Faith Music Mission down in Evansville. I appreciate Brother Gail Russ and what God's moved in his heart to do. Brother Ed's now helping him down there, his son, and overseeing that part of it. But, you know, I always say this, but I can just about take any kind of tape, CD, and if I flip it over, it says Faith Music Mission on it. It's usually pretty good. I mean, there's not too many of them that you're going to find that have a problem with it. And what I'd do is I'd find good, solid Christian music. And I'd just fill my life with that stuff. I'd buy CDs. I'd play the CDs in my car. I'd play them around the house, ladies. I'd listen to Christian, you know, stop listening to the world's radio. Start listening to Christian radio. Replace things in your life. Stop listening to, you know, foolish talk radio and get some sermon tapes and pop it in. And I'm just saying, those people that do that, you know what? They find out that they don't slip back into that junk. You know why? They replaced it with something stronger. This is good. Some of you have a habit maybe maybe of reading the wrong things. Right now you're reading the wrong things. There's books that you're reading that you have no business reading. Now, you can say, well, I'm going to stop reading them. But if you're a reader and you like to read, you know what? You're probably going to go back to reading something. So what you do is replace it by getting good books and replacing good books. When Brother Harrison was here, I mentioned, I think every person ought to start building and try to build a good Christian library. I think you ought to be a reader of good books. I'm going to get rid of the wrong crowd, Brother Jerry. I'm sick of the wrong crowd. And you know what? I realize they're tearing me down, so I'm just going to tell them all to get lost and get away, and I'm going to stop hanging in the places they hang around, and I'm just going to leave the wrong crowd alone. So you're going to push all your friends out the door, and then you're going to sit in your house, and you're going to go, got rid of them. By the way, it's lonely, isn't it? Yeah, it is lonely. Man, I wonder what so-and-so's doing. They're the part of the crowd. Oh, yeah, we got rid of them. Sorry. You know what? A couple weeks, they're going to be back in your house. So what do you got to do? That's why we say, listen, when you get saved, folks, let me tell you something. Turn your back on the world. Get involved in the church. Make the church family your family. Make the church activities your activities. Make friends of God's people. And so I'll tell you, the wrong crowd needs to be replaced. It's not enough just push the wrong crowd out. You need to replace it with the right crowd. It's not just enough to stop going to the wrong activities. It's good to have the right activities to go to. Apologize, you know, it's just one of those things we couldn't avoid, but I'm sorry we had to cancel the church weenie roast. We're trying to do some more of those things. You know why? Because there's folks that have turned off the wrong activities, but you know what, folks? They need something to fill that vacuum. And they really do. Christian fellowship replaces fellowship with the world. Christian friends replace worldly friends. Christian activities ought to replace worldly activities. And we tell folks no, 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 but then we don't give them anything to say yes to. And one of the reasons we're working hard, and boy, I tell you what, I don't know how many times around here, I'm gonna re-energize us here as we get past Christmas and start looking to spring. Don't lose a burden or a vision for what needs to be built out here. Just don't do it, church. I'm glad we need a school, but you know what? We need a fellowship hall. We need a gathering place for God's people. We need every once in a while on a Sunday night after church to say, folks, hang around. We're going to have some homemade ice cream and some brownies and gather together and just have good Christian fellowship. See, why? Because we're a growing church. We've got some folks that are trying to come out of the world, and they have all of these wrong influences, and they're sitting at home saying, okay, I'm trying to do everything the preacher said. No, 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 no. What do I get to say yes to? Are you listening to me? You know, we planned this over at Bethel's campground. We could have done this a lot of different places. There's people in the church that would host something like this. You know, if you think about it, and if you'll learn me a little bit, I don't do too many things by accident. The reason I wanted to drag you all out there is I wanted you to look at the shelter, and I wanted you to look at the playground, and I wanted you to look at the volleyball pit, and I wanted you to look at all of that, and I wanted to tell you, you know what, I'd like to see all of that back here behind the metal building back here. Say, why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because people that are leaving worldly activities need some place to come and have some activities. And we can sit there and tell them no, 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 no all we want. But you know what? They'd like to hear yes to something. And they need to have Christian fellowship and Christian activities. And that doesn't mean we stopped soul winning. That doesn't mean we've changed our plan. But you know, we can also add that to it. And so think about those things, you see. You can only, you know, here's a great thing about the way God made us. You can only think about one thing at a time. Do you know that? You can only really concentrate and think on one thing at a time. I've got an evil thought, Brother Jerry. I've got to get rid of this evil thought. I'm gonna capture it. I'm going to bind it. I'm going to kick it out. And it'll be back in 2 minutes. The way to get rid of an evil thought is to replace it with a good thought. You begin to think about the good things. Brother Jerry, you can't believe how deeply rooted this wrong kind of music is in my life. I mean, I think it's out, but I find myself humming and singing, and I'll go to a gas station and walk in the door. Next thing you know, it's back. Folks, listen to me. I've never met a bad song in my life that can stand up against Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Now, you just start singing the right kind of song, and it will, I promise you this is true, it will overcome the wrong kind of song. But you got to get proactive. You can't just say, okay, I got to stop. You're not going to stop that way. You're going to stop singing the wrong song when you start singing the right song. And so you win the battles of the mind by replacing the evil with the good. Folks, listen to me. The Christian life is not just a negative, getting rid of the negative. It's replacing it with the positive.
You see, we need good preaching on separation. But notice this. A lot of times what we do is, folks, separation is twofold. It's not onefold. We're to separate ourselves from the world unto the Lord. And a lot of times all we hear preaching on is from the world. No, 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 no. Well, you're not just supposed to separate yourself from something. You're supposed to separate yourself to something. And it says from the world to the Lord. And so that's the doctrine of replacement. The Bible is not just a book of thou shalt nots. It is a book of thou shalls. And what you ought to do is take a look at your life and say, you know what? I am going to need to get rid of some things and some activities and stop going to certain places and be involved in certain things. But wait a minute. If that's all I do, then I'm setting myself up for a big fall. Now, what I've got to do is I've got to say, what can I replace that with? You know why you hear Pastor Jerry mention, and in this great, we've got 6 different nursing homes that we're conducting services. And I don't say a lot about that ministry, but you folks that are involved in that ministry, God bless you. And I wish I see, even though maybe you don't conduct a nursing home, I would encourage you, I mean this, would you consider this? Don't just turn me off, oh, I'm too busy, I can't do anything. Would you consider looking at one of these nursing home services and saying, you know what, maybe they don't need me to conduct it, but I could go to that nursing home service and I could help the person that does it by gathering the people and greeting the people and talking to the people. Now, what are you talking about? I'm saying fill your life with good, positive things that help people and make a difference in people's lives and get rid of the evil by replacing it with good. You know, some of you may say, Brother Jerry, there was a time I went to the tavern. Now you know what I do? I go to the jail and I minister. There was a time that I went to the nightclub, but you know what I do? Now I go to the hospitals and visit the sick. There was a time when, you know what, I was up all night, you know what, doing things I shouldn't do. Now I'm out on Saturdays knocking on doors, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will do something. And the best way to get rid of the old stuff and keep the old man in place is to fully assert the new man and put on the proper things that will help you to continue to do what's right. I hope this has challenged you this morning. You may be someone that's been saved just a few weeks or a few months, and you're looking at something right in the eyeball right now, and it keeps defeating you. Well, listen, it's not enough to push it out. What is the corresponding positive thing that needs to be put in its place? Are you listening? And then you maybe have been saved a long time. You say, Brother Jerry, I've had success in most areas of my life, but this one thing. Well, you know what? I would look at that one thing and I'd say, what is the corresponding positive godly attribute that would help me to overcome that so I can push it out, bring this in, and firmly implant it in my life and set it right there in that chair so that when that little evil comes back, it can't dislodge anymore. Can't occupy that seat anymore because of the strength of that which is good. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had together. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see victories in our lives where we need to see victories. And help us, Lord, not to be discouraged. Lord, the Bible says a just man falls 7 times but riseth up again. And there may be folks that have struggled in some areas and they've kind of thrown their hands up and say, you know what, I just can't beat this thing. But Lord, good does overcome evil, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help. I'm excited as I see folks at the church here making lifestyle changes, and they've been saved, and they're separating themselves farther and farther away from the things that drag them down spiritually. And I'm proud of them from doing that, but help them, Lord, to put into their lives the positive things that will help them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.